Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13 tonight. And we are going to continue talking about hope at least a couple more times probably. We talked Sunday morning about, you know, the difference between natural hope and Bible hope. There's a huge difference. Bible hope's an expectation, extreme expectation of good. You know, worldly hope or natural hope is just wishful thinking. We hope it turns out all right, but we're not sure. We hope it doesn't rain today, but, you know, it might. But Bible hope's more concrete than that. It's got substance. Faith gives it substance. Amen. And so it's got something to stand on. This is probably what we'll talk about Sunday morning a little bit about what we base our hope on. We don't base it on, you know, circumstances getting better. We base it on something more solid than that. But this tonight I want to talk about the importance of hope, how important it is, because, you know, you may think, well, what's this to me? You know, how important is hope? Well, if the Bible tells us it's pretty important. Yes. Amen. All right. Now, you know, I remember back in the 1980s, I think it was the 80s, maybe later 80s, that a guy wrote a book, and he called it The Seduction of Christianity. It was a terrible book. But, you know, the guy wrote it. A lot of Christians endorsed it. I read as far as I could read and threw it away. It was just full of trash. I'm just being kind about it. That's all. I could be a lot less kind about it, you know, what I thought about that book. And basically the guy attacked anybody in there that believed in faith. Any of us faith preachers, well, he didn't attack me, he didn't know me, you know. But he attacked them, all of them. But I always remember one of the things he said, you know, about Jerry Savelle. He said, all Jerry Savelle does is travel around the country getting people's hopes up. I thought, and that's bad? Come on, are y'all alive tonight? Going to help me preach or I'm all alone? Now, see, I thought, now that is so dumb, you know. And I didn't name the guy, so I'm not slandering the guy. I know you can look it up online now and find out who it was, but don't you dare order that book. You bring it in this church, I'll throw it away. I'll rip it out of your hands and burn it because it was trash. Somebody gave it to me in my church back then to read, and I read part of it and said, that's enough of that. It's not robbing my faith. You know, hallelujah. I know what buttered my bread. I know who I brung to the dance or who brung me. Amen. And I'm going to stay with them. Hallelujah. I'm 40-some years in this, happy, blessed, and joyful, and full of vigor and vitality and a major blessing and good looking. And I know. Well, are you laughing about that last part? I know where that came from. That came from living by faith. Hallelujah. You're not going to talk me out of it, brother. You can go live beat up, dumb, broke, disgusted if you want to, but I'm not living that way. Hallelujah. And so I just, you know, just discarded the book. And I remember I was sitting in my study, and I'm reading this book, and all of a sudden, Donovan, this is trash. And I took it and threw it behind my chair. I said, this is trash. And ended up throwing the thing away. But I want to talk to you tonight about how important hope is to our lives. Let's go here to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. And we'll just read this one verse. It says, now abideth faith, hope, and the King James says charity or love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So the Bible puts hope right up there with faith and love. It puts it in the same category. It tells us that the greatest is love, because how many know there's going to be a day when the only thing, you know, the only thing we're going to have to really walk in is love, because once we get to heaven and we've received everything, there's nothing left to believe for, nothing left to hope for. We've got it. We've arrived. Amen. And so, you know, so love, of course, even right now is the greatest, because the Bible teaches us that without love, nothing else really works right. And so, but it does say, it does label these together, faith, hope, and love. And so hope has to be pretty powerful, because it's right up there with some powerful, I call these Christian forces. Are you listening now? In other words, you know, there are things that you have to have in your Christian life if you're going to be blessed. You got to have faith. You got to have hope. You got to have love. How many of you can't even tap into the grace of God without faith? You know, people talk about grace, but grace is really useless to our lives if we don't have any faith. By faith, we access this grace, which we stand in, Paul said. So we have to, you know, faith accesses the grace. It's not a matter of, you know, God just deciding he's going to pour out his grace on us. You know, how many know we have to receive it by faith? And his grace is plenty. How many know that? The Bible talks about he giveth more grace. How many could ever sometimes use some more grace? And so sometimes there's never anything going in our life that there's not enough grace of God to fix it. Y'all hearing me now? See, because he'll give you more grace. More grace than anything the devil could do. More grace than temptation. More grace than any curse. Amen? Of the law. More grace. He gives us more grace. So there's more grace available, but we access it by faith. But the thing of it is, faith, which we talked about Sunday morning, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So if you don't have any hope, if you don't have any, let's say it this way, expectation, because hope, we defined it as an extreme expectation of good, not a bad, of good. And so if you don't have any expectation, you're not excited about anything, your faith's not working. Amen. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, what you get excited for will work for you. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. What you get stirred up about will work for you. Yeah. But you got to, hope will stir you up. How many know that? Hope will stir you up. I like to think of it this way. Hope is one of the, you know, the vitamins or the minerals that you need spiritually. How many know in your body, they tell us you need certain vitamins and minerals, you know? And so, and I know some people take a lot of that and it maybe helps them, you know, and everybody's different. How many know everybody's different, their body makeup and all that. You know, I always tell people, you know, and I'm not putting my seal of approval on my dad's diet, but I'm just making a point. My dad, you know, all the years that I knew him, which I knew him 60 some years before he passed on, I never one time cannot remember ever seeing him drink any water. He just didn't, you know, I'm not saying he didn't. He just did it so little, I never saw it. I mean, he would drink milk. I remember he used to drink tomato juice. Ugh. And, you know, coffee, you know, maybe some tea. And he'd drink a soda sometimes, you know, a little soda. But we'd work together sometimes outside, you know, maybe doing something together, a construction project or something. And it's hot, you know, it's 90 degrees. And we take a break, he gets a cup of coffee. You know what? That's just the way he was. And his philosophy, I never heard him say this, but I saw him live this. If it's not fried, it's not food. Yet he goes to the doctor and the doctor says, your cholesterol is perfect, it's 120. You're in perfect health. He smoked all of his life until he got to be about 80 and then he quit. Your lungs are clear. How many know that doesn't work for everybody? How many know that? Some people that kills. But we all need, you know, because, you know, we all need, but our body does need everybody's body needs certain vitamins or nutrients for it to function properly, right? And, you know, sometimes we take vitamins. Now, I'm not a big vitamin guy because, you know, Phyllis will try to get me take, and one thing she does, if I get a little bit of a sniff or something, she brings out the euthanasia. Have you ever heard of euthanasia? She'll put it in orange juice and she feeds that to me, and she seems to think it does something for me. And so I do it, praise God. You know, and I'll sing, I'm the euthanasia man, euthanasia man. That's an old song for some of you. Those that you're laughing, I know you're a little older. You recognize that tune there. Secret Agent Man, remember that song? Secret Agent Man, all right. Now, so, you know, but you, I don't know. I've been taking this vitamin for over a year. I got this, maybe it's been over a year, maybe it's not been quite a year yet, but I got this big old thing, and it had like 400 capsules in it, so enough for 400 days, you know. And I've been taking this, you know, and, you know, I can't tell it's done anything for me, you know. But, you know, I'll probably take it till it runs out, and that's probably into that. And, you know, but, and I'm not saying it doesn't help you, because you're, you know, I just have doubts about how much of that really breaks down and gets in your system. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I'm not here one way or the other. I'm just making a point. But, you know, your body gets nutrients and it gets vitamins from food, doesn't it? And it breaks it down, uses it in your body, and it causes you to be healthy. Well, these forces we just talked about, faith, hope, and love, they are spiritual vitamins. They are nutrients. Amen. They are minerals for your spiritual life. And if you're going to be spiritually healthy, you got to have them. If you don't walk in love, you're not going to be spiritually healthy. If you don't walk in faith, you're not going to be spiritually healthy. If you don't walk if you don't walk with hope, you're not going to be spiritually healthy. You're just not going to be. You know, you have to have certain things. And all the prayer and all the laying on of hands won't fix it unless you do something with those forces. And so, there's not a magic wand in the pastor's office where he hits you with it and it solves all your problems. Are you kidding me? I'd hit myself with it. Of course there's not. But if you do the right things, how many know you're going to be healthy? You know, a minister, he said, my daughter was in the bank just doing banking business, and all of a sudden she just passed out and hit the floor. I mean, she's a young lady, and she's, bam, hit the floor. And so, you know, naturally, you know, you're concerned when a young person just goes out like that. Somebody else, Pastor Jerry, you don't think much about it. You just walk by him and say, oh, they'll get up in a minute. You know, it's just, kick him in a place or two. That's just, having one of them days, he'll come out of it. You know, he's just an old guy, you know. But young people are not supposed to just fall on the floor, right? And so she just, like 20s, maybe early 30s, just falls on the floor in the bank, and she's out. And, of course, they have to take her, and they rush her to the hospital and all. And it turns out the only problem with her was her potassium levels were low. That was it. Had she eaten a banana before the bank, that wouldn't happen. Because it has potassium in it. So her body was missing something. See, sometimes that's the way it is. Some people, they get off on, you know, not eating the right things, and they don't eat a variety of things. Like I'm an expert at this. But, you know, it shows, obviously I'm doing enough to keep myself going. I've been going 63 years. I've never fallen out in the bank. So. But it was just potassium level. She was deficient in her body. And people get that way spiritually. And one of the things that we need is hope. Our God is a God of hope, the Bible says. If he's a God of hope, how many know we should be people of hope? Look at Proverbs 13. Go there, Proverbs 13. What is hope? Well, let's just break it down. Let's just say it like this, and I think it'll help. Maybe you even see it better. Hope is just simply expectation. We're expecting something to happen. We're expecting things to change. Now, when you do that, your faith will come in and bring that to pass. Amen. But it's got to have something to work with. You got to have a vision first. You know what I'm saying? You don't just show up and say, you know, I think I'll build a house today. Let's just, you know, let's dig some things for some footing. Let's just throw some things up. Hey, you know, you're probably going to have a mess. You got to have a blueprint. And that tells you, you know, how to do that. Now, it's pretty amazing the way that works. But, you know, I watch these guys frame houses sometimes in our neighborhood. And it's just amazing. I mean, there's this one company in Evansville that frames houses, and they frame a house and have it under roof in one day. I'm talking about big houses. And they just, you go there, it's just like bees. I mean, there's like 15 or 20 of these guys, and they're all got their own job. I guess they've all got this figured out, and they just go on every which way, and next thing you know, there's a house sitting there, man. But they have a blueprint. And faith brings it to pass, but it's got to have a blueprint. Right? Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I'm just believing whatever? How many know what you're going to get? Just whatever. See, whatever. Have you ever heard people say, well, whatever the Lord wants to do? You ever heard that? Well, how many know, sometimes that might be all right, but when we're talking about our redemption, he's already done something. Right? I mean, as far as what, you know, like Jesus prayed at Gethsemane, not my will be done, but your will. Well, that's a little different. because he's praying for the will of God to come and pass in life. I want God's will to come pass in my life, but that's not written concrete in the Bible. That can change, that can fluctuate, but the promises of God are solid. They're concrete, and God expects us to know them. How many know God expects us to know that? He wants us to put him in remembrance of his word. Right? You know what I'm saying? Jesus didn't say, now devil, somewhere, someplace, something was said. No, he knew what was said, didn't he? He said, it's written. Amen. Now look at Proverbs 13, verse 12. The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. So hope, your heart gets sick without hope. There's a spiritual problem here, see? We're not meant to live without hope. Now look at Jeremiah 17. I know we're looking at some scriptures tonight. We're going to look at a few. Jeremiah 17, go there. So hope deferred, or the heart without hope, it's a sick heart. There's a problem. You've got to have expectation about you. Amen. That every day you wake up, this could be the day, praise God, that it all manifests. Right? This could be the day. Amen. You know, some things that God does in our life, they don't always come to pass overnight. I wish they did, but they don't. But we ought to wake up every day with expectation. This could be it. This could be it. Hallelujah. I've been believing for things, but you've got that hope out there, and you're giving your faith something to do. Real important that we get back to expecting God to do things. God's a God of hope. He expects things. And it works for him, doesn't it? Amen. Look at Jeremiah 17. Let's begin reading at verse 5. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, who makes flesh his armor, his strength, or he leans on or trust in flesh or man, whose heart departs from the Lord. See, that's what will happen if you trust in men. Your heart will depart from the Lord. Your heart won't be relying on the Lord in that area. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. But look at this, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Woo, hallelujah. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now, the Bible here gives us a picture of two different types of people. It gives us a picture of someone that their hope or their trust is in men. And then it gives us a picture of the one whose hope or his trust is in the Lord. And it tells us the results of their life. One will be like a shrub in the desert. The other will be like a tree by the river. I'll take the tree by the river. And so he's simply saying, see, if you lose your expectation in life, which some Christians have, if you do that, your life's going to dry up spiritually. You're going to dry up spiritually. People that have expectation, it produces excitement in their life, and it is a spiritual nutrient. Hallelujah. It is a spiritual vitamin. Amen. I remember, I cannot now, I don't remember where I had been, but I think I had been out of the country, and I can't remember, but I'd have to go back and look at the records to see. But I'd been out of the country, and I came back home, and I had Brother Greg and I went up and did a meeting in Sullivan, Indiana, at a church up there. Remember that, Brother Greg? We went up there together and did a meeting up there, and I found out COVID had hit. Now, I didn't know anything about it, and it just all of a sudden COVID hit, and, they said the governor said we got to shut down the churches and the businesses and everything. And, we can argue about the plus and minuses of that. It was mostly minuses. We never have shut down for the flu yet, but all right. But listen, I'm not here to argue that point. I'm here to make a point. But so the rule was, or the really wasn't like from our governor. It wasn't like an iron-fisted thing from him. He wasn't that way. But his suggestion was, you know, just have 10 people in the service. And so we talked it over. I called leadership in people, like over the youth and over the kids and different people. We called them in. We had a meeting. And I said, well, what do you think about this? I said, here's where I'm at. I'm okay for us to still have church because we just believe God, you know, trust God. And I don't mean it arrogantly, like we've got it all, you know, and we're super faith, and there's an F on my shirt, you know, faith man. But, you know, I'm just telling where I was at. But I said, here's the thing about it. Not everybody's there. Not everybody's in the same place spiritually. And number two, our witness to the community, so forth, like we're just being rebellious and not trying to help out. And so we all decided, okay, we'll just for a short period, just do live stream and so forth. But the problem was when you do live stream, nobody's there. Now we had 10 people that could come in, I think, on Sunday morning at the most or something like that. And so, but then on Wednesday it was just Scott and I, and Scott wasn't giving any offerings very good. I'm sorry, Deanne. He just wasn't giving very good any offerings at that time. I'm teasing about that. Scott's a good giver, and so is Deanne. But I'm making a point. In the natural, it looked like it could be a disaster for a church. Now, a lot of churches went under. A lot of churches went under. But what I learned through all that whole thing is this: those of us that put our trust in the Lord and not in man, right? Like we have to have men here to sustain us. Those that put our trust in the Lord, we flourished. I think we started, I remember the month that, you know, the first month we were off, it was one of our best months in years. It didn't make any sense, but God said, if you trusted me, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You won't see when heat comes. You won't feel the drought. You'll go on through it, amen? And so I learned that. Just going through that, I saw a lot about who had faith and who didn't have faith, who trusted in the Lord, who didn't trust in the Lord. Now, of course, that only lasted a short period of time, and we were back to having church. And, you know, you can debate all of that and all that. I have my thoughts about it, you know, and all. That's not my point tonight. My point is simply saying the Bible's true. If you trust in the Lord, you'll flourish. I said you'll flourish. If you just trust God, you'll flourish. Amen. And so, you know, we had that period of time, I think it was 7 weeks, where, you know, I'm just preaching to the camera, you know, and so forth and all that. It's just not near as fun. I like you people being here, even though sometimes I have to remind you to say amen. All right, now, so my point is simply what Jeremiah said here, it's absolutely the truth. If you put your hope in the Lord, you are not going to be disappointed. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. There has to be this expectation. You don't think the devil doesn't talk to you? Oh, you're not having people, people are not going to be at the service. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? I tell you what's going to happen. God's going to supply. Amen. And besides, people were faithful, right? I'm glad people were faithful, right? Amen. And that people say, well, like one guy told me one time, he said, now here's the way I got the tithe figured out. Oh boy, this is going to be good. How you got the tithe figured out, this is going to be really good, all right? He said, I figure if I go to church and I got $60 in my billfold and I give six, I've tithed. Well, how many know that's not what the Bible teaches? The Bible doesn't say, and bring all, forget all that. Not all. Let's just back off of that. You don't have to bring it all. Just give me some of what you got in billfold. You know, people come to church with nothing in their biffle. They only got $2 today, Pastor, 20 cents tithe. Just, you know, and you think that's I'm not making this up, a guy told me that. But I've even heard, now this one here I really kind of liked. One pastor began to preach to his church that the tithe was 20%. I thought, yeah, I'm going to have him as a guest speaker. I'm joking. How many know tithe means what? 10. And I guess his people fell for it. You know, it's like, that's not good. Amen. The Bible defines tithe for us as 10%. All right. So, look in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. How many know God's not got anybody any greater to swear by? You know, you go to a court of law, I don't even know if they do this any longer. You lay your hand on the Bible, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Now, what does that really mean? That means if I'm lying, I'm calling on a higher power to keep me honest. See, people say that and lie like a dog and don't think there's any consequence to that. But you reap what you sow. If you don't get down under the blood of Jesus, you're going to have some problems with that. Right? Because you called on God to keep you honest. Right? Now, so God doesn't have anybody to swear by, so he swears by himself. And he says in verse 14, here's what he said to Abraham, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. How many of God is a blesser and a multiplier? And that's what he swore to do, right? Not decrease, amen. Not curse, but bless. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Just to explain this a little bit, what is simply saying that, you know, when people, and this has changed today, but in their day, when Paul was writing this, if people made an oath, they did not break it. They did not do it. They kept it. And, you know, that one guy in the Bible, in the Old Testament, said, you know, if the Lord gave him a victory, the first thing that came out of his house, he'd sacrifice. Remember that? Jephthah. And when he got home, the first thing that came out of his house was his daughter. And you know what? He kept it. Now, what do you think about the pastor? I think he was stupid. I think he should have said, Lord, I said something stupid. Forgive me. But I'm just showing you the point. Some of you are looking like, I've never read that story before. Is that really in the Bible? There's a lot of good stories in there. One guy got swallowed by a fish. That's in the Bible. You know, one guy was thrown in the lion's den and used them for pillows. That's in the Bible. Well, the pillow part's not, but you didn't seem to know, so. Now I want to just say this to you. See, he's simply saying that in this day when the writer of Hebrews was writing, this is the way it was. If men made an oath, they swore an oath to something, that ended all strife. That ended all controversy. It was settled. It's done. If someone said to you, I swear by the Lord God Almighty, remember how they would say, as the Lord liveth in the Old Testament? When somebody said that in the Old Testament, it was settled, it was done, people had integrity, they would not even think about breaking that. And that's what Paul's saying here. And he went on to say in verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, everybody say, that's me, the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel or his will confirmed it by an oath. God swore an oath to this new covenant. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation or encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Everybody say hope. Now notice he said two immutable things. Well, what's the two immutable things? Well, he made promise to Abraham. That's the first thing. I mean, if God just promised you, that's good enough, right? Because he cannot lie, right? But then he went beyond just making a promise, and he swore an oath. He swore by himself he would bless Abraham. So that's the two immutable things, the promise and the oath. And so God really wanted us to know he's intent on keeping his word. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. That's how strong this is. Now notice he says we have hope set before us. That's because we know God's not going to lie, right? That gives us strong hope. Which hope we have as an anchor for the soul. Folks, hope anchors your soul. Your soul, how many know you're a three-part being? What are you? Spirit, soul, body. All right? One place in the book of Acts, let me just say this before we move on. One place in the book of Acts, it's talking about Jesus prophetically. It's coming out of Psalm 16, where Jesus said, "My flesh shall rest in hope." That's Acts 2:26. So hope anchors the soul and rests the flesh. Now, why is this important? Because when you go to believe God, how many know faith is for your spirit man? Out of the heart man believeth. But you still got two parts of you that need some help. You can have faith in your heart, but you don't want your soul going wild on you and trying to derail you. All right? What do we mean by that? Well, how many know your mind, your will, and your emotions and your flesh, for the most part, they don't care anything about faith. They want to see something. Isn't that right? You know, that's why you can't talk to some people about faith, because they're just in their soul and their flesh. They're not living out of their spirit. And faith doesn't rest with them. You talk faith, they're like, "I don't need any of that faith stuff. I just want to see something." Well, there's an anchor for your soul. It's called hope. When you allow yourself to have an expectation of something good is about to happen to you, it satisfies your soul. It gives your soul an anchor. Why do you throw out an anchor? To stabilize. To keep from moving. You're out on the river. You're out on the lake. You're out on the ocean. You can't just stop. Water is a moving thing. You're not going to just sit there. I used to fish on the river when I was younger and go out in a boat, you know, a John boat, motor on there, and go out and fish in the river. When you got out in the river, you had to throw two anchors out. You found your fishing spot, your fishing hole where you want to fish at. Now, to stay there, you got to throw some anchors out or you're going to be on down. You're going to keep moving on down the river. See, the current's going to carry you. See, that's the way it is with your soul. If you don't have an anchor of hope, the current of life will carry your soul on down the river. You got to have this extreme expectation of good. I'm expecting something to change. I'm waking up every day expecting something to change. And if it doesn't change this day, I'm waking up tomorrow. Every day I'm going to wake up expecting something to change. And all the while, that's given faith a job to do to bring it to pass. The Bible tells us that after Abraham patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he stayed with it. But he had to have an anchor for his soul, which is hope, which is an expectation. And our hope is we know God cannot lie. Hallelujah. God cannot lie. So without hope, am I going too deep for you? Or, all right. Without hope, your soul and your flesh run wild. How important is hope? It really is going to be the determining factor of whether you receive from God or not. It's going to give faith something to do. Now, remember David said, he said this at Psalm 42. He said to his soul, "So hope thou in God." He talked to you. Maybe we talked to you, I think it was Sunday morning. You got to talk to your soul sometimes. You got to tell it what to do. So you're praising God today. Well, I don't feel like praising God today. It doesn't matter what you feel like. You're going to do what I tell you to do. That's the way David treated his soul. He told his soul, "Oh, so bless the Lord, oh my soul." Bless. I don't care what you feel like. Well, it's just not my nature. I don't care what your nature is, so we're born again. Right? You got a new nature when you got saved. Amen? And so, you know, there's a lot of things I do now that I didn't do years ago. That's because I got a new nature. Amen. Now, let's close. Did you get something tonight?
Yeah.
Let's go to Acts chapter 3. We're closed right here. Acts chapter 3. I want to show you something out of that, and then we'll close. How many got that part about how, there's a lot of things we can talk about, but how many got the part about how hope anchors your soul? It keeps your soul from floating on down a river. It keeps it steady, you know, because, you know, I don't care what happened. I don't care how bad a mood you're in today. When I get done, because I do care if you're going to be around me. But listen to what I'm saying. Let's say it this way. No matter how bad a mood you are today and right now, maybe you're down, maybe you're a little under, a little depressed. I guarantee you, if I came up to you and said, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to cut you a check for $4 million. I guarantee you, your soul changes. Didn't it? It just changed. Why? Because of what it heard. It's like, you know, it's like Brother Schombach used to say, I don't know if everybody liked him saying it, but Brother Schombach said, you ain't got any troubles. All you need is faith in God. I mean, remember that. He was famous for saying that. I'm sure somebody's like, he don't know where I live. Well, what he said was true. If you got faith in God, you've got victory. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, hope's connected with that. And so, you know, no matter what you're going through, you know, $4 million will help cheer you up. Because you all of a sudden you realize my life has changed. Now, this is just natural, see. Are you listening now? See, that's why we've always got to remember that this time on earth, it's the shortest period of our life. Remember Brother Greg preaching one night, and he talked about how it was a vapor? And I think he might have brought a spray or a mist or something, and he sprayed that. You know, he's light years ahead of us in preaching. He uses all these effects and stuff. It's like we're still trying to catch up, you know, on the books of the Bible where they're at. And he sprays this, and psh, that's your life. But once you get a real vision of eternity and you get a vision of heaven, it's just hard to bring you down. Because you know, it's just going to be a short time. I'm going to be living the best life I ever lived. You know, one brother wrote a book. I'm not knocking it. I'm just making a point. Your best life now. Honey, my best life ain't now. Right? And I understood what he was saying. And I'm not criticizing that book. That's not the point. But I'm just saying, you can have the best. If you follow and listen to God, you can have the best life you can possibly live right now. But your best life, it isn't now. Your best life yet to come. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? You know, a minister said that, now he's one I trust too. I don't trust all of them. Let's just say that not everybody out there that says I'm a prophet is a prophet. There's some not-for-profit prophets in the body of Christ. Y'all understand that? Because there's so many people being put forth as I'm a prophet, you know. And, you know, now they're even saying that we prophets have a special revelation and code from God to decipher the Bible for you. I'm like, where'd that come from? I thought I had the Holy Spirit. I didn't think I had to go to prophet so-and-so so I could know the Bible. I thought, don't misunderstand me. I'm not meaning that like prophet so-and-so. If he's really a true prophet and anointed to preach the word, couldn't teach me things out of the Bible. But to tell me I'm dependent on him, no way I could know parts of the Bible without him. I like Brother Hagin said, I'd rather hear a donkey bray in a tin barn at midnight than that. You know, that's just ridiculous. But anyway, where was I going before I got off on? I've been all over the place. All right. what was I talking about? Pastor Jerry, come on. What was I talking about before I got off on that? Anybody know?
I'm with her.
You're with her. Well, I've driven us somewhere and I've got us lost. Where's my GPS? Huh? The vapor. Thank you. See, somebody's paying attention. Thank you, Jason. Huh? Jason stayed behind. He didn't go with us on that trip, all right. I was talking about heaven. How could you forget? Heaven's a good place. And when you get a reality of that, see, now we've never been there, right? How many know you've never seen it, right? So the only thing you have is you've got hope. See, Paul talked about in Romans about the hope of our salvation. What's he talking about? He's talking about that hope of this finished package when we get our glorified body. Hallelujah. When the sons of God are manifested. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that's what Paul talked about. Even if your loved ones have died, you don't grieve and sorrow like others that have no hope. You got hope. If they were in Christ right now, they're better off than they ever been. And the next time you see them, they're going to look different. Here's what I was going to tell you. This minister said, you know, his dad died unexpectedly, you know. And he said, I just never felt really good about it. You know, I just never felt good about how dad died. His dad was a believer, but he said, I didn't get to say goodbye. It just happened, bam, like that, you know. And he was like, it never just felt good to me. I just felt bad about it. And now the reason I was saying about prophets, because I trust this guy. This guy's got integrity. How many know God's still, there's still supernatural experiences, right? Right? Now, we don't believe everybody that says they had a supernatural. We're not skeptical people, but we're not gullible people either. People have made a lot of money telling lies and writing books about it. All right? And usually their character, because they got bad character, it's going to show up eventually. They're going to be in scandal and problems because they had bad character. And so, but this guy's not that way. And he said, you know, he said, I forget the circumstances behind it, but all of a sudden he had a supernatural experience with God and he found himself in heaven. And he said, I'm going down. And I think he said it's like a little scooter thing that he was riding on. And he said, I went by this area, and he said there was a bunch of people over there. He said, Connie, he said, it's hard to describe things you see in heaven because they're better than anything you see on earth. And he said, it looked kind of like a mall area to him. He said, look at me. And he said, I saw this real muscular, healthy, you know, and I think his dad was gray-headed or bald-headed, dark-headed guy over there, you know, standing, and he said, it was my dad. I'm getting goosebumps already. He said he looked like he's about 35 years old, and he was strong, he was healthy, he was muscular, had a full set of hair, and it was coal black. There's hope for me. I'm hanging on to that hope. Hallelujah. All right. Now, did you find Acts chapter 3? See, I always say this. If you're a Christian, the best day you're ever going to have is just right ahead of you. If you're not a Christian, you're having the best day you've ever had right now. The worst is yet to come. But as Christians, it just gets better from here. Hallelujah. But we live so much caught up in the world, so much caught up in the natural, that we don't think about heaven anymore. We don't think about it. But it's still real. Hallelujah. Look at this in Acts chapter 3. Go there. Verse 1, it says, now Peter and John, they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. Notice whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now there's a man, he's never walked in his life. This has just been his life. Who's saying, Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, notice this, expecting to receive something of them. So he got his expector got turned on. You follow that? His expector got turned on. See. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. My wife's been at Walmart. You know, people say, well, see, Peter was broke. Well, listen, how many ever been out and you didn't have much money on you? It didn't mean you was broke. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. How many think this was a pretty good day for this guy? But what happened? Well, his expector got turned up. Now, he got something different than he was expecting, but his expector got turned up. See, I don't care how long. Now, listen now. Let me say it this way. It doesn't matter how long you've had that condition. Expectation will cause it to change. This guy's had this all of his life. But one day. I said one day, and it all changed. But what if his attitude wouldn't have been different? What if he'd have seen Peter and said, oh, those are preachers, they never give anything. They'll probably ask me for an offering. They'll probably take out of my little plate, say, this is for the Lord. You heard about the little boy that years ago, his mom, this was before we got this real good economy we got now. His mom gave him two nickels to go to Sunday school. And one nickel was to put in the offering, and the other nickel was to buy ice cream when church was over. So he's got them in his hand. He's just walking along, swinging his arms, and one of those nickels slung out, ran down the curb, and went down in the storm drain. He looked up and said, Lord, there went your nickel. This guy's life changed because he just had some expectation. But if he'd have just had a bad attitude, right? Nothing would have happened. You remember this, we'll close right here. You remember this, that Jesus went to his hometown in Nazareth, and the Bible says he could there do no mighty work. See? It didn't say he wouldn't, it said he couldn't. Now people say, well, he was God, he could do whatever he wanted to. As God, he could do whatever he wanted to, but he wasn't operating as God. He was operating as a man anointed of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus was God, but he wasn't operating that way. Right? Remember the Bible said in John 4 that he got weary on his journey and sat down on a well. God doesn't get weary on his journey. But Jesus, the man in the flesh, got weary. He got tired. He may have snored. There's nothing in the Bible against snoring. But it says he could there do no mighty work except he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. That's all he could get done, just a few. And the Greek brings out the head minor ailments. But then, that's Mark 6. That's at the beginning of the chapter. At the end of the chapter, he goes to another place and it says they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them that they might just touch his garment. They brought them from all around and laid them in the streets just hoping they could touch his garment. Well, and as many as has touched him were made perfectly whole, the Bible says. Well, isn't this the same Jesus that in the same chapter that said he couldn't do any mighty work there? Same one, right? What was the difference? These people had expectation. These people did not. That's all there was to it. See, if you're gonna have spiritual health, you got to show up every day with your expectation on. You got to check your expectation every day.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.